Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And fun fact, I planned next week's service long before I planned this week's service, so you're going to hear part of this scripture again next week. I'm sorry. Luke 15, 1 through 10, you can find this on page 1623 of your Pew Bibles. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the other 99 in the open country or the wilderness and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and church carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. From the very beginning, we see what the problem is in this passage. We have Jesus, and Jesus has the audacity to eat with tax collectors and sinners. Good reason to quote that, because sinners means anyone who just doesn't do the right Jewish things. Doesn't even mean they're particularly sinful, just they don't follow the right Jewish customs. Jesus has the audacity to spend his time with these low, low people. And in Jesus, we see a reflection of what God concerns God's self with. So in this moment, God is concerning God's self with Jesus being with the tax collectors and sinners. But the Pharisees want nothing to do with it. They have problems with that. You can just hear them saying, "Stop it. Stop eating with them. Stop associating with them. You're better than this. If you are a rabbi," and you know that they did the quote things if they said it, "If you are a rabbi, then why are you associating with such as these? Associate with the righteous and the good." And you know what Jesus is concerned with? Saving those who are wanting saving and lost and alone. The same thing God concerns God's self with. But these Pharisees, they want their pat on the back. They want God to come up to them and say, "Good job. You've done good. You've earned your place in heaven." That's what they want. They put on their mask of righteousness, their mask of achieving goodness, their mask of pretending that they are good enough, that they have no need for God. That's not what they say, not at all. But it is how they act. It is their life. Do you need God with you and teaching you and saving you? Or have you grown beyond the need of God? That first parable, best just take it at face value. You can nitpick this one and make it mean nothing, but let's just take it at the words that we have. A man has 100 sheep in the wilderness, which the wilderness in Israel means desert, with wild things that want to kill the sheep. He has 100 sheep in the desert, and one goes off. And so he leaves the 99 sheep in the wilderness, all by themselves, unattended to. No protection. Just leaves them. And he goes on the arduous journey, and he finds the sheep, and he puts the sheep on his shoulders. And he carries it back, and where does he go? Does he go back to his flock? No. He goes and finds his neighbors and friends and celebrates, while again, the 99 sheep are just chilling out in the wilderness. No protector, no nothing. Just out there all by themselves. They're just out there. He doesn't seem concerned about getting back to the 99. He seems most concerned about that one. And what I realized is that those 99 sheep are not real. The one, absolutely. The lost sheep, that's a thing. I am willing to bet that as Jesus is telling this parable, there is a shepherd somewhere at that exact moment searching for their lost sheep. That's a thing. But sheep that can be left alone in the wilderness by themselves and survive for any appreciable amount of time do not exist. They're fake. They're an illustration. Because you can't just leave sheep in the wilderness. That's not how it works. This whole story is flipping the script. Because if you leave actual sheep in the wilderness, they die. That's what happens. And so this whole parable is comparing the Pharisees to the 99 sheep. And what does Jesus say at the end? Those souls who do not have need of repentance, those souls as well do not exist. There are no souls that do not have need of repentance. Let me tell you, knowing enough clergy, there are no clergy that have no need of repentance. We all need to repent and turn back to God, period. We have to do it on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. We are not the sheep that have outgrown the need of the shepherd, because those sheep don't exist. But that's what the Pharisees want you to believe about them, that they have outgrown the need of the shepherd, outgrown the need for God. Do you still need God? Do you need God to seek you out when you are lost in the wilderness? Or do you no longer need a protector and a provider? You have outgrown the need for God. That second parable, that one does help if you read between the lines a little bit. The woman has 10 coins, which is about 10 days' worth of income. And that's all that she has. That is her entire fortune, 10 days' work. We can assume by how little she has that she is in deep poverty. She has her 10 coins. And so when she loses one coin, she needs that coin. Like, there's no, like, I'll find it later. I'll see if I can find, like, maybe later, maybe I'll worry about it later. No, this is a one coin is lost, we find it now because we need that coin. And then she lights the lamps, which I always assumed meant it was night. But not necessarily. It could very well mean that she lived in a house without windows. That was a thing, I guess. Again, pointing to her poverty. So even at noonday, she had to light lamps to find anything in her home. And oil isn't free. Oil costs money. So it is worth the money that she is burning in oil to find that coin that she needs so desperately. And then when she finds it, she cannot help but celebrate. Like, I don't know if any of you have ever lost a large amount of cash. Your pastor has. And that relief that when you find it, you realize where you set it. That, like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Everything is okay. And you celebrate. You cannot help but feel relief and joy. And so you celebrate, and anyone who will listen to you, you tell. Now, most people get annoyed, but I'm assuming this woman would have found other poor people that would have been like, right, I remember that. I remember when I lost, and then I found it, and the relief that I felt. That celebration of having something that you need desperately returned to you. That is the feeling that God gets when